Ruby, you brought up a really interesting point that was elaborated on a little bit about how, pursuing a career in the arts or pursuing a career in music is, well, not as often now, but before was often for people to look down upon. Like if you were a musician, it wasn't really necessarily a respectable, I guess, job to have. Yeah, so I was wondering how all of your parents or family reacted when you told them that you were pursuing a career or trying to make a living out of either making music or doing something in the arts. I know for Ruby, it's a little bit different because it's more visual arts, but I'd like to hear all of your stories in regards to what your family's thought.
For me, I was actually really lucky with my parents. My mom, she told me, she's like, as long as you're doing something that you're passionate about and you really feel like it will work out, then do it. It wasn't something like she wanted me to be this or she wanted to be that. She wanted me to be that. So both my parents, they were very supportive with my decisions. And I've noticed, like, when I'm doing my work at my desk, my dad, he's always like coming into my room, sneaking in, looking at my work, because I feel like it was something that he wanted to do when he was younger, but didn't actually get to do it because of, I guess, like the stereotypes that used to be like more common then. But yeah, they're very, very supportive, like from the start until now, and I'm very thankful for that. But yeah.
Nice.
So for me, I sort of had to do it like secretly, because I don't know if my band knows this. Maybe not. I don't know if I ever talked about this, because like I had just finished school. I have a kid. My kid at that time was, oh my gosh, how old was Kalen? He was maybe like 6 or 5 or something like that, 6 or 7 at that time when I started sneaking out to play Glinda with Pantayo. And so it was like I was just starting my career. I just finished school. Like it was actually like, a second career for me. I was working at a nursing home before, and I went back to school, and then I went to do social work, and then like I had just gotten a job, and then things are lining up, but then like I was sneaking out to do these like things, and I knew that I would have to leave my son somewhere, so I would have to leave my son with like family members, like my mom, so I had to do it secretly because I wasn't sure if she would be supportive, right? Because I was just starting my life, I finally had like this career. And then I was like doing all of these other things, because like I feel like, my family was so happy that I finally had like focus and I finally like did something that had a structure. And then I was like doing this whole other thing. But in the beginning, like my mom sort of found out a little bit. She was like kind of not cool about it. She probably thought I was wasting my time like doing this, but then eventually she knew that I wasn't going to stop and I was going to keep going. And then, just how everything goes with my relationship with my family, eventually they just have to accept that this is like what I'm going to do and this is what, I wanted to do. And so that's sort of how it was like for me.
Yeah, when I first went to university, I studied music, and my parents, they were supportive, but then also not. Like, I think they would have preferred, they wanted me to do something a bit more practical. But when it comes to Pantayo, I think because maybe they are very like merit narrative oriented, I think once Pantayo started to pick up and we started to play more shows and get more bookings and then also come up with the album and being nominated for Polaris, I think they started to. I mean, they've always been really supportive of my music individually and with Pantayo, but I think they were like, okay, wow, this is something, and they've really been like amazing and supportive, especially this past year.
Kat, you wanted to talk about something earlier?
Oh,
Oh
yeah.
yeah, I was just gonna comment. It's more like I think what I noticed
was that, or something that could possibly like explain this whole phenomena of, you know, not getting the support of parents or whatever. It's because I think, you know, when I was growing up, when I think of music, there's music from the Philippines, and then there's also music in North America. And, you know, when my family moved to Canada, our idea of music or doing a career in music, you see these like white musicians, and there's no representation of, you know, Filipinos in that business. And I think that when our parents' generation think of people who are in the music industry who are Filipino, they're either like, you know, rappers doing, you know, like really cool like underground circuit, or they're Bruno Mars. So it's like there's no in between. There's no success for people who are just telling their own stories. And maybe that's because there is no representation, and there are also no channels for them to see Filipino talent in the arts. So I think that's one of the reasons why I think it's kind of taboo or like frowned upon or not as supportive, up until the point where, you know, our parents would see validation from other people. And by other people, I mean white people. So it's like, I think coming together as a group, we definitely wanted to do that for ourselves first, like, to prove to ourselves that we can learn this thing, and we can express ourselves through this thing, and that there is also other reasons why people get into it, whether that's, you know, representation or diversity of narratives and perspectives. And if we continued this trajectory, that we can make this a financially sustainable thing as well.
Can I add something to just the general topic, right? So for me, being a mom, you know, and pursuing music, I don't think that I feel like, especially young moms, I feel like it's something that is sort of out of reach to pursue, especially when you're you know, when you have I guess the responsibility for like a child or like a person that's real, right? And pursuing, you know, something like music is so out of reach. You almost like, I mean, for me, like I was saying earlier, things had to happen like just right, and you know, things had to just happen together at the same time. Like for me, it just so happens that, you know, like I ended up having, you know, a super cool supportive like group of people that I can play music with, that is, you know, that's respectful and supportive of like for myself, like for me, supportive like of, I guess, like my needs as like an individual too. So that's I feel like that's a very unique thing for like groups to have, you know, groups that would be supportive of each other's like also personal lives. And yeah, like, I feel like it's, yeah, that was all.
Yeah, I think I can kind of relate to that, because I think it speaks to how we function as a group too. And I think other artists in our network function in a similar way. I can't speak for them, but I'll speak for our band. We are definitely aware and kind of understanding about each of our members' personal lives, and also things that are currently popping up in each of our lives as we go along. I think it's really important to have that opportunity to check in with each other and not necessarily function as a group that's super capitalist, I think, and super super focused on hitting check marks or hitting milestones based on what the industry says. So for example, for us, we've been a band since 2012. Well, technically we've been a group since 2012 and we were a band after that. So if we functioned as a regular group or like a regular band within music industry, our first record should have come out in the first couple of years of forming, but we didn't do that. And I think the time that it took for us to come up with our debut record is speaking to the space that we are allowing for ourselves for life to happen to each of us individually, because I think that's also one part of making sure that this project is sustainable, is that we can continue doing this and there are no feelings of resentment, and we can, you know, keep our excitement about coming together and playing music and representing Filipino people. So I think if we didn't operate in that way, then I don't think we would have lasted as long as we did. We would just be like super frustrated with each other and kind of like, well, this isn't for me.
Yeah, that's a really interesting and a good point to add on. Something that I thought of while you were all making your points is how I think the reason why a lot of Filipino families look down on careers that are related to the arts or related to music, for example, is because they're worried about their kids being financially stable. So I think all of our parents, were always focused on making sure that we all had food on the table, making sure that we had a roof over our heads, clothes to wear, all that fun stuff. And they want to make sure that we could provide the same for our own families. And that's why they're so focused on us being in careers where we can make quite a bit of money. Like, I know in my family, at least, both of my sisters are nurses. And my dad was very happy with that. And then he looked at me when I was very little. He said, oh, both of your sisters are nurses. You know what you're going to be? A doctor. And, you know, it was kind of set into me that I was like, oh, I have to be a doctor. But in reality, I was horrible at science and I was horrible at math. I could barely add 1 + 1. It was pretty bad. But then, like I said before, music is very important within Filipino cultures. And, you know, I was kind of pushed into piano classes when I was younger. And I don't think my parents realized how much I had an interest in music. I didn't even realize it either until I started getting into high school, becoming more involved with band and choir and all of that. And then in grade 11, I decided to become a part-time piano teacher. And that's when my parents and my family kind of got a little worried. They're like, oh, so are you going to go into music now? Because you're doing a part-time job as a piano teacher. Is that what you're doing? You sure about that? And that was a little bit of an interesting conversation to have with my family. And it ended up that I didn't end up pursuing a career in music. Like, I still do teach piano part-time on the side, but I ended up studying political science in university, which is kind of the opposite of what my parents thought I was going to do. But I think the main thing that my family was focused on was making sure that I could get a job where I can make enough money to sustain a family, which does make sense. And it's like a concern that I feel like most parents have for their children, to make sure that they're able to, you know, sustain themselves in life. But I think that's where the whole idea that Filipino kids need to be a nurse or a lawyer or engineer comes from. It's from the fact that our parents are more worried about us and making sure that we're able to thrive in life, I'd say, at least personally.
Yeah, it's survival, it's economics, it's a lot about labor, I feel. Like, I mean, my only experience is like being diasporic and being second gen in Canada. Like, I don't know what it's, I have no reference for how pursuing arts or pursuing an artistic career is like being in the Philippines. I can, my only reference is like being here and like my experience of being working class. So I don't know. I like to, when it comes to my family in particular, I like to make the distinction between like them encouraging me to create music versus pursuing a career in music, where I think they've always been encouraging with being creative, but not necessarily pursuing it as a full-time career, because of their own experiences of seeing how the social mobility looks like, seeing how money moves.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I feel like in our family, I don't think being creative was even encouraged. I feel like, Katrina, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is how I felt. I felt that if we were doing anything else outside of school, then it's a waste of time. So I think that doing music after school, after we were done university, was just like a big fuck you. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I kind of forgot what I was going with.
The way that I read it is, it's something to fill the time. I remember us going into summer school and they were forcing us. I took up keyboard and you took up guitar. But that was just for the summer because otherwise we would have been watching cable TV 24/7, like melting our brains off of Nickelodeon, you know? it wasn't really encouraged. And then like when even I was trying to make my way, because my career background is in environmental science. So when I was carving my way there, like even then my parents didn't know, because again it's going back to representation, right? Like, are you gonna be the next David Suzuki? Like, are you gonna be a speaker? Are you gonna be a doctor? Are you gonna be a researcher? And then like it took a while for me to be like, okay, what are the applications of environmental science? Oh, I could work in a garbage company, and there's always going to be garbage. Like, people are always going to be trying to recycle, even though it's not recyclable, but that's another point. But the fact is, like, we have to carve our own paths because it's not popular. And I think I've kind of just learned how to do that. The lessons that I've learned when I was trying to make my way into my environmental career and my way into my music career with Bantayo, it's always just like, okay, how do I make this doable for me energy-wise, money-wise, and express myself too? Like, how do I make it my own? It doesn't have to make sense for my parents as long as it makes sense for me. I think I can live with that. Sometimes it just has to be you, even though there's disagreements or frowns coming from your relatives.
Oh yeah, I feel like there's always going to be like one disapproving tita somewhere out there who's always going to be judging you anyways. So you know, yeah. It's fine. That's life.
So might as well do what you want to do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Agree like, to them. And then you just do whatever. You just say yes, but then you do
exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I remembered what I was gonna add earlier. Is that okay if I
yeah, of course. Yeah.
Irene was talking earlier about, you know, coming from a second gen perspective. And I just remembered that, you know, I'm coming from a first generation perspective. People can call us 1.5 because I was already an adult when I came to Canada. And I think my perception of what a career can be was very different from when I was in the Philippines to when I moved to Canada. I think when Katrina and I were in the Philippines, I thought I was gonna, you know, follow this path kind of like my grandfather, who was like in banking and accounting and like became a lawyer. And I thought that that was like the thing to do. And the only other option was like, or other options were like, you know, engineering and becoming a medical professional. So I didn't even think that there are people who are working in media and arts and entertainment. And I remember distinctly, because I went to Ryerson University in my undergrad, and I have a business degree. And I remember after my first semester finding out about a media arts degree in Western, University of Western Ontario. And I was like, what? That's a thing? People do that? Like, people can work in media? I think after finding that out, I started looking at ways that I could kind of learn more about things other than business. So then I somehow managed to take kind of like different courses here and there as my electives that, you know, that talked about like podcasting or like doing something about like psychology and so many different other things that's not kind of directly related to my degree. But I'm just thinking now about my peers, the people that I went to school with in the Philippines, and some of them are also in the arts, and how it's very different in terms of the environment and the funding support that they have there in the Philippines and what we have here in Canada, and how much more challenges they have to overcome to be able to pursue their art, and you know what we have here in terms of the biggest thing is funding, and also audiences that are open to consuming, quote unquote, this kind of cultural work. So yeah, there's just so many different things that I have to stop and remind myself sometimes, because I don't think I would have, like personally, I don't think I would have been able to pursue Pantayo if I was in the Philippines, for example.
Like to add to that, like, for example, as you know, like, women, it's still illegal in the Philippines to have an abortion, right? If a woman can't have, you know, like, reproductive rights, like, how are they able to, like, choose a career freely, like, you know, consciously, knowing what the possibilities are, right? So just something to add to that.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting point to add on. I think maybe that might be a future podcast episode, another one talking about, you know, the whole thing with reproductive rights, and it's pretty complicated in the Philippines. I won't go into detail right now because, like I said, that's probably a separate podcast. But yeah, very, very interesting point to add on. Okay, so I think we covered all the things that I had listed for things to talk about on the podcast. Ruby, did you have anything else you wanted to add on? Any questions, concerns, comments?
I don't think so, but I think, like, it's just, like, a cool idea just to go against, kind of go against, like, what your parents or, like, your family, like, wants you to do, because once you succeed with that, it's just, like, hey, I really made it. I don't know. I think that's kind of cool. But, yeah, I think that's it from my end.
And you're helping them, actually, because their perspective before, but then after you, like, break the rules, this is going to be their perspective after.
Yeah, that's true. The only way if you go past what they know. So,
yeah.
I think we're getting there.
For sure. And I think, like, the key there is also just being blessed with the people around. Definitely. You and because you won't be able to make it, like, I won't be able to make it on my own. It's really that acknowledgement, yeah, that I'm lucky and I'm really grateful to be around people at this time, in this space, in this mindset, to be working with people who are like-minded and are we have the same goals, we have the same stuff that we want to do. So it's really, it's still mind-blowing to me, but it's
pretty cool. It's a special feeling when you have like the support and even the similar, like what you said, the similar mindset with everyone else around you. It feels nice. It's really good.
Yeah, we need more rubies and Teresis and Pantayos. We can't push the box outside of like perceptions of what, you know, like people like us can do. So,
and it's like for my program especially, like it's interesting because like not a lot of people know what it is, like what my program is, but it's like it's something so similar to architecture. But when you say interior design, like I've said it to some of my friends, family members, they're like, "Oh, that's fun." I'm like, there's a lot more than just it being fun, because like there's just so many aspects of it. Like there's the aesthetics, but the aesthetics is like the smallest part of it. There's the functionality, there's like the building codes, the construction drawings for the construction workers, and just working together with architects and the engineers. And it's just like, it's kind of like someone stepping on you when they say, "Oh, that's fun, like what are you gonna do with that?" Because there's so much. But yeah
of course.
Yeah, it's good to educate others about stuff like that too, because a lot of times people might judge you because they just don't know a lot about what you're doing, right? It's just that they don't know. It's not that they're actually trying to be rude or like personally attacking you or anything. It's just because they might not know about what you're pursuing in life, right? So just, you know, educating them a little bit, you know, just letting them know about what you're doing is good. And if they still have their own opinions about whatever you're doing, then sucks to be them. That's their problem. Pretty much.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, bye. And I feel like that's what Akong Filipino is working to do. The whole idea of Akong Filipino was born out of anger, actually. Anger about stereotypes against all Filipinos, really. And it all just started with conversations with my friends, conversations with good mentors who helped create this whole thing, and it's still in the process of being created. So I guess through this podcast, through the Instagram page, and through whatever comes next, that's the motive, to try and break the image in people's minds of like Filipino stereotypes and what a Filipina or Filipino Filipinx should be like, or what they should act like, or what we're supposed to do. It's basically just breaking everything that we've known and creating something even better out of that, right? So
you're doing great, by the way, Therese. It's amazing.
And it's a pretty cool thing to be a part of. Yeah, thank you so much for thinking of us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much for coming on to this episode. Anywho, thank you so much to all the members of Pantayo and to Ruby for being on this podcast today. I think you brought some very interesting points to light during this podcast. And so thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks. Thanks, Therese. Thanks, Ruby. We appreciate
it. Nice meeting you all.
Yeah. Nice to meet you too.